The following is brought to you in association with and as a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant DM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Player, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Everybody in between, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. From the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, and I am joined by...
All right, I'm going to give this a second try. The Cadillac Driving, 40-ounce slamming, food stamping, styling, and racial profiling, son of a bitch. The Mega Powers.
That's
AKA
right.
Black Powers for this month.
Motherfucking Black Powers. And we are live, Dave.
We're live.
Rant Entertainment Media, Rant EM Radio. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. It's Wednesday night, my peoples.
Ain't that some shit?
Ain't that some shit? I love me some Foreigner, by the way.
They're one of the best B-level AOR bands of the 70s.
Hands down, Lou Gramm, top five favorite voices of all time. I'm just putting that out there. I'm a big fan. The new guy that's on the scene now with them isn't too terrible, but nobody takes the place of Lou Gramm.
No. Well, the new guy sounds like Lou Gramm.
Yeah, I saw him at a concert last year at Citi Field.
You know, actually, when I still had cable, I watched a PBS presentation of Foreigner performing, and it wasn't bad.
Right.
I actually watched the entire concert. They played Hot Blooded, which I love. I actually downloaded that on my phone recently. And Jukebox Hero.
Yeah, huh? I own everything of theirs. No joke. They're actually going to tour with Kid Rock this summer.
They actually, what was it, years ago, well, not that many years ago, but I actually saw Kid Rock headline over Skynyrd, and it was actually a really good show.
You know, I know a few people. You're not the only person to see that show, and he said it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, a friend of mine brought me, he's like a huge Skynyrd fan. He wanted me to finally see Skynyrd. I did. Skynyrd was the best by far, but shit, I will give Kid Rock, you know, credit where it's due. That man put on a stellar performance.
I see.
At was it Jones Beach?
Yeah, it's a good venue, actually. So I'm thinking about going. It's $20 a ticket for Foreigner and Kid Rock. Maybe you'll join me. We'll have a Turnbuckle Throwbacks concert outing.
Man, I would 20 bucks is in my budget.
Absolutely. All right, chat room is hopping right now. Mr. X is in there. Scott's in there.
Scott!
All right, I see. See our buddy Matt.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
There's Tank.
Now I find that every time this jockass decides to strip down to his sweet nothings and wallow around with some sweat hog.
Yeah.
I hope Tank does not strip down to his jock strap, that jockass.
Tank's got some family stuff going on, so shout out to him, and hopefully everything works out on that end. Yeah, he was
Tank.
He was actually on the rant last night.
Really?
Yeah, Surfer filled in for AA. He was at SmackDown last night in
Florida. Well, my condolences to AA.
AA, yeah.
I don't know how SmackDown is now, but there was one year that a friend of mine gave me tickets for SmackDown as a birthday present.
Right.
And that had to be probably one of the worst gifts that somebody ever gave me. And he even apologized to me at the end of the night. And to make matters worse, this chick who I gave my number out to had her boyfriend text me that night to tell me to fuck off. So it was just like technically it was a triple whammy, because there was two episodes of SmackDown that night that I had to endure. And then like a few years later, a friend of mine in the Shining Wizards hit me up for free SmackDown tickets. So I was like, yeah, let me go for it, because I ended up getting free Devils tickets that same week. So I was like, oh, back to back. And I went to the show, and it was leading up to the Mania 29 at the Giant Stadium, and that show sucked too. even though it was like a few weeks away from Mania, it still sucked. It was packed to the rafters, but still the action did not live up to the hype.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is what it is. Apparently, it was a good show, though, Corey. I was talking to AA today for a little while. Cause you guys...
Well, it's there's a new generation. It's a new day. You can say the line.
It's a new day.
There you go. So, I'm sure the show is different than it was when I was going to SmackDown.
Yeah, man. All right, speaking of New Day, we got a couple of announcements. Tomorrow night is the first ever Black Achiever Awards live on Rantium Radio, starting at 9 p.m., hosted by AA, Tony C, and our boy, the Mega Powers, or I should say, I'm sorry, Black Powers. Yeah, Black Powers will be hosting tomorrow night.
The first and potentially the last Black Achiever Awards.
I have it on good authority, Mega Powers, that there will be a 30-minute pre-show.
All right.
With me doing the, not red carpet, but black carpet prior to the event.
I love it.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's a couple of guests that are involved. There's a musical guest that's involved. And it's pretty cool. So you guys should tune in around 8:30. AA should be posting that up for you guys, and I should be calling in shortly before 11, because I have to come home from work. I'll be listening on my shitty commute home, and it's also my wedding anniversary, so I want to wish my wife a happy,
congratulations,
happy third wedding anniversary. I love you, and thank you for putting up with my bullshit. Even though I put up with hers more than mine, but that's just either way. But it's a give or take, and thank you very much. So tomorrow night, Black Achiever Awards. 9 p.m. is the
8:30 black carpet.
The black carpet, man. The amphitheater will be hopping, Dave.
I heard, I made the announcement that Worf from Star Trek is going to be there.
I don't know if he'll be at the black carpet, but I'm pretty sure he'll be at the Black Achiever.
Definitely.
I can tell you now that I saw some of the guest list, and it's nothing short of brilliant, so... Take a listen to that tomorrow, and it's all tongue in cheek, guys. So, honestly, if you don't get what's going on, you really shouldn't be listening to any of these shows.
No, you shouldn't be involving yourself in anything wrestling related, because it's all
right.
It's all work. Okay, I'm giving it away. It's a work.
All right. So tomorrow night, I guess they're going to be preempting the Rexplex and Rant and Wrestling for the Black Achiever Awards. But you could catch them, I guess, right after the show, because they're pre-recorded. The Lex Experience. Lex will have a new podcast this week. Starting next week, Rage and Lee's new show, Freaks and Geeks, debuts. And so is our boy Will Sweeney with That Awful Podcast. So we have programming live and recorded every night of the week now. So check out rantemradio.com. We're doing big, big things. Don't forget this Sunday, starting at 7 p.m., coverage for Fastlane, WWE's pay-per-view Fastlane. We'll start 7 p.m. I may jump in on that depending on what's going on that day. But if not, hold on a second. Good evening, Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, it's
God,
Maniac.
This guy again.
It's Matt Marshall, the man on the street. What's up, brother?
Hey, we're just pulling in for the night, and the Black Achievement bus, we just pulled into a Super 8 here, found a place where we can get some hourly rates. So we're just pulling in. We're going to rest up, but we just want to let you know we're going to have an awesome road report next week. We're going to be down there in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Piggly Wiggly, and we've got a ton of stuff going on, and we just want to let everyone know the first 100 people that come out tomorrow for the Black Achievement Awards Road Extravaganza, we're handing out special commemorative Stevie Ray Breathe Right strips.
Nice.
So come on out, get those. It's for the first 100 people that come on out. They have Black Achievement Awards right across the nose there, and you come and get your Breathe Right strip.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. That's crazy.
Oh, it's jam-packed tomorrow.
Yeah, man.
Jam-packed.
Yeah, I know. I'm hosting the black carpet prior, and I'm hoping to see. I know for sure Ron Simmons will have his bus there. I'm sure now we'll have you guys there as well, giving out stuff. So that should be a fun time.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you so much, man. That's
see
awesome.
See you there, Matt.
Hey, stay black.
Stay black and stay proud, brother.
Stay strong.
That's right.
All right, keep a tight ass. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Woo!
All right.
You know, Phil, I actually have a autographed photo from Antonio Fargas, a.k.a. Huggy Bear.
I know you do, dude. You
my
told
possession.
Me, yeah, you told me this, and I'm very envy.
And I also have a Antonio Fargas fan club pencil.
I know you do.
And when I was a part of the fan club, he actually called my phone. Oh. Fortunately, I wasn't there, but he left a message. And I did my very best to leave that on the voicemail for as long as I could. But the folks had to 86 that. But he did say, stay black and stay free.
That's right. So, again, now you heard Maniac Matt Marshall, man on the street, will be coming in with a roll report tomorrow. The Ron Simmons bus, Tony C sent the fuel pump all the way to Warner Robins, Georgia. It's going to be insane.
To siphon out some gas so you can get the kids over to the arena.
Yeah, man. I mean, you got to keep it real, all right? So anyway, getting back to the coverage. Coverage starting this Sunday, 7 p.m. For Fastlane. March 1st, 7 p.m., pending I'm not inebriated, I will be hosting the pre-show for the Ring of Honor 13th anniversary pay-per-view.
And I'll be joining you for that.
Are you coming over?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'll be there.
All right, Mega Power's in studio for Ring of Honor. It's going to be insane. Dude, the card is now stacked because of what happened this past weekend in New Japan. We'll get into that in a few minutes. And listen, I'm just letting you guys know, Shining Wizards Network, rantemradio.com, this is where you have to be, guys. There's a ton of stuff going on. New programming every single week, almost every single day. You will not be disappointed. I want to give a shout-out to our boys over at the Midnight Jury. Mike put up an awesome picture, dude, of the map of the United States, and he put every podcast where all the regions, what region represents each podcast.
So where did he place us?
We're in New York. We're in the Northeast. Then you got
number
Justin.
One show, like
got,
I said.
You got Justin in Indiana. You got the Neckbreaker guys up north in Boston. They got the Wizards in Jersey. Dave Destruction's in Jersey. You got Stickman up in Canada. You know, you got King of the Indies out in California. You know, speaking of California, shout out to our boy Chunky Larry. His birthday's tomorrow. Chunky Larry from GeekCityIndustry.com as well as Mega
Happy
Powers
birthday,
Radio.
Chunky Larry.
Chunky Larry's the man.
It's your life and your dream, and nobody's going to stop you now.
Yeah, tomorrow night too, 7:30 before the pre-show, the Sign Girls have a podcast.
Oh, God, I'm not going to listen to that one.
Well, I support Kathy and Christine if you want to. If not, don't worry about it. It is what it is. They're going to be on the Blog Talk Radio feed from the Nerdport guys. So hopefully that works out for them. And check that out if you will. And I think that's pretty much it. We got some news to get into?
Yes.
Let's see. Get my notes here. I'm not going to talk about Raw. I will, however, talk about the Triple H and Ric Flair promo. Involved.
It was a Triple H and Ric Flair promo.
Well, Triple H came out to shoot. You know, he wants to talk about you know who.
Sting.
You know, and then he was like, you know, getting mad at calling out Sting.
Sting! 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 Sting!
Yeah. So while he was doing that, Ric Flair's music hits. Flair comes out to give him the hey, listen, man. You know, I just want to let you know that, you know, you're not active as much as you were, and you're not the game anymore. You're like corporate game, and I want you to be on your toes, guys. I fought Sting a million times, and I want you guys to, you know, I want you to know that, you know, this is important. I don't want you to don't take him for granted. So Triple H kind of got mad, pushed him to the ground, and
not Ric Flair.
No, it was a good promo, actually. It was cool that Flair came out and he wasn't inebriated. That was cool.
He was sober?
Yeah, he was sober, dude. He was sober. Oh. Came out and gave him props and be like, listen, man, don't take Sting lightly. And I do want to talk about, again, there was a promo with Bray Wyatt hammering a coffin. So, obviously, you know where I'm going with this. I don't want to see it. We're probably going to see it. So, I don't know how it's going to pan out. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks, but, you know. Fastlane, considering the name sucks, is hyping up to be a decent pay-per-view.
Hey, man, you know, there's more behind it than just the name.
Well, I mean, listen, man, I just, you know how I feel about them taking away pay-per-views and stuff they should do and they're not doing, but we'll get into
that. Couldn't, a lot of places couldn't put up the Elimination Chamber, so.
Right, so IC title match, Wade Barrett defending against Dean Ambrose, that should be a good match. The Usos are fighting my new favorite tag team of Cesaro and Tyson Kidd. Mm. Of course, Rusev versus John Cena. The belt is not up because nobody cares about it. Rusev being the U.S. champion.
This is like when Vader was U.S. champion in WCW. You know, towards the end of his run, it's kind of like, well, the guy's like a top name. Like, who can he really go against in the U.S. division that would really give him a run for his money?
True that.
So he had like for like the longest time, like the guy had all these non-title matches, and I don't even know who he even lost the U.S. title to. I remember it was just kind of like a weird time when Vader was just U.S. champion. He didn't even just held the belt in his hand, didn't give two shits, didn't really defend it. And
but I'll give him this though. They are hyping it up, and they are hyping it, and it's telling a decent story. There was a nice exchange again on Monday night. So I'm not too – I'm kind of invested in it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
I'm kind of invested in it, and I think I've been a fan of Rusev, so I'm not going to deny it. So I'm looking forward to the match.
We'll see where it goes.
Divas champion Nikki Bella versus Paige. Nobody cares.
I care.
Oh, you care because you're a horny single man.
And I just got back from gym, Phil, so that testosterone is running through me.
Yeah, you're like you're a house of fire right now, Mega Powers.
You know, I'll say this, for a good while it was very hard for me to keep up at the gym. Now I'm at a point where I'm good to go. I don't take too many breaks and I get right to it.
I'm glad, man. I'm glad you're putting yourself in that position. I'm glad that you're getting yourself in better shape. Your main event, Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan. Winner will face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. here's where I think the whole Sheamus will come in and interfere and Roman Reigns will win, but now Daniel Bryan will do a program with Sheamus.
Sheamus,
the Celtic warrior fella. That guy.
That guy.
So that's where I'm going with that. Should be a good match, though, either way, whether there's a sad finish or not. And that's pretty much a pay-per-view. Are you going to watch the pay-per-view on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I always watch them, even though I'm not always terribly invested in them, but I'll watch them.
You know me, I'm a mark for gear, for wrestling gear anyway. And the kid is. They're putting out
wrestling gear has become a lot more wearable these days.
Yeah, like I would wear this. I saw it the other day. I was had a family emergency, and I had to head out east. And before I left, I dropped my wife off at the doctor's office with the car, and I was sitting in the doctor's office, and I'm looking on the .com, and they have like WrestleMania, you know, like the shirts and the hats and shit like that for this year. But they have, like, I'm a big baseball fan, if anybody doesn't know. I'm a huge baseball fan. And they have, like, the WrestleMania logo with, like, the San Francisco Giant colors. So that's a nice hat. I may pick that up just to have. It's a nice – I do have a WrestleMania hockey jersey from when they were in Detroit. Hmm. So, I mean, I like once in a while I pick up something like that. Other than that, I just wear the old school stuff. You know how it is.
Yeah.
But – again, shaping up to be a decent card. Hopefully it is. And if it is, we'll talk about it next week. If it's not, then we'll find something else to talk about besides our throwback.
Yes, indeedy.
All right. So, do you have any other news before we get into what I have else going on?
Talking about the New Japan New Beginning events.
Right. So the first one was on the 7th, right, which is Friday?
Yeah.
At the now, what's the name of this arena? The Akita Tursa?
The Bodymaker Coliseum.
Right. They call it the Akita Tursa, apparently.
I think you're looking at the wrong one.
No. New Beginning. Road to New Beginning. New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Well, you're looking at the Road to the New Beginning. So, I'm going straight to the New Beginning in Osaka.
Okay, so what day was that?
For the first of the two major big events.
Was that on the 7th?
No, that was on the 11th.
Okay, so let's do this.
So you are looking at the Road to...
okay, one second.
If I remember correctly, I don't remember, like... I've been trying to keep up with, like, all these events and just other stuff that I want to watch, too, you know, throughout the week. If I am thinking about... the correct event, which could possibly be the Road to the New Beginning. I think it was like a hard cam show. There was one match that really stuck out for me, and that was Alex Shelley versus one of the new young lions, Jay White. And that was a really, really good match. Like I've never noticed Jay White as, you know, around the ring, you know, where the young lions or young boys, whatever you want to call them, are usually situated. But I noticed him at the first event of the second event of the new year, rather, the day the Monday after Wrestle Kingdom 9. I forgot the name of the event was, but anyway, just saw him around ringside. I'm like, there's a white young boy around the ring. Like, who is this guy? And I believe somebody confused him with Cody Hall at some point on the board. But there was a singles match that he had with Alex Shelley, and it was phenomenal. This guy is going to be making waves down the road.
All right, so you want to get into the results from what day now?
The 11th for New Beginning in Osaka.
All right, I don't have that. For some reason, it's not coming up on my computer here. But all right, you have the results or no?
Yeah, okay. First match, one of the young lions, Sho Tanaka, defeated the other young lion, Yohei Komatsu. You know, decent match. These guys basically, you know, they're just learning their craft, usually at the beginning of the shows.
And they fought Red Dragon, these guys, too, the couple days before that.
Yeah. So they, you know, usually, like, for the events, they'll have, like, the young lions face each other or have them, you know, in a tag match, like with teams like Red Dragon and teaming them up with Tiger Mask or something. You know, just so they can get the experience to get the live, live experience, because you can only learn so much in the dojo. And just like anything, if you're in a band, if you're, you know, wrestling in front of a live audience, that's what you're really going to need to excel, not alone in front of your peers, or a limited amount of your peers. Anyway, next one is Masquerada Dorada, who's recently signed for a one-year contract with New Japan. He's the CMLL welterweight champion. Him and Tiger Mask defeated Captain New Japan in Manabu Nakanishi, who you guys may have remembered as Kurosawa in WCW.
Right.
fair match, nothing to write home about. The tag team of the Illuminati, Chase Owens and Rob Conway, the
NWA
World Heavyweight Champion at the time. And Chase Owens is, pardon the pun, chasing Jushin Thunder Liger to regain his NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship back.
Yeah, speaking of Jushin Thunder Liger, he'll be in New Jersey this coming Saturday for Pro Wrestling Syndicate as he takes on Colt Cabana.
Sounds like it's going to be an awesome match.
That should be a good match. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
They defeated the team of Hiroshi Tenzan and Jushin Thunder Liger. Tenzan, who's going against Rob Conway for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship at the following New Beginning, which we'll get into. Again, another fair match. Not too much. Not giving too much away, because these guys are going to be facing off in singles competition the following night. Kota Ibushi defeated Tomoaki Honma. This was one of my favorite matches of the night. Honma is just like the lovable loser. The guy's ripped, chiseled, cut.
Yep.
Defined, but always loses, always manages to lose.
He's such a good he's a good hand, too.
Yeah, really good hand. For guys listening to this, if you want to see a really good Honma match, check out the one that he had with Okada back in I think it was like December 21st, 2013, just before Wrestle Kingdom 8.
Yeah, you put me onto that not too long ago.
Yeah. It was, I posted the match recently. It is,
yeah, it's a good match.
Really fucking good. And the guy hit, I'm not going to say much, but he actually hits that headbutt during that match.
Oh, boy.
But this was an excellent match. I highly recommend checking out the Kota Ibushi Tomoaki Honma match. Young Bucks have regained the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship in a three-way match, defeating champions Red Dragon, your boys Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly.
Yep.
And one of my favorite tag teams, the Time Splitters, Alex Shelley and Kushida. Alex Shelley, who I've been nagging on Twitter to come onto the show. We'll see what that boils down the road.
Did he write back or no?
No, of course not. Okay. So I'm going to have to break this man's will to get him on the show. I've been a huge fan of Alex Shelley, especially with the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah, man. It's hard, man. It's just – I was talking to Shining Wizards Tony about this.
Uh-huh.
It's just hard to get these guys to come on without an ulterior motive. You know, it's like it's
– Yeah. Plus, I think, on our end, we gotta up our game. You know, I've been looking at my Twitter, and it's kind of like, well, I don't really use Twitter.
I use Twitter all the time, dude. I use it all the time for the
show. I'm saying I need to up my Twitter game. I need to make it look more like I'm involved with the show, as opposed to, like a tweet on the main page that was like from 7 months ago,
We'll talk behind the scenes. I'll show you what to do with that.
All right.
And then, all right, so carry on.
So Kenny Omega defeated in a rematch from Wrestle Kingdom 9, Ryusuke Taguchi. This was a really good match. These guys are really an awesome tandem in the ring. And Taguchi's having a better chance to shine now that Prince Devitt is out of the picture. But then again, Kenny Omega's in the title scene now as champion. I think Taguchi only defended the title about twice before he lost it. And actually, his catchphrase "Oh my" and Garfunkel has a little bit to do with him trying to step out of Prince Devitt's shadow. So,
Devitt's shoes will be hard to fill. Taking nothing away from Taguchi, or taking nothing away from, of course, Kenny Omega, who's been in the game for a long time.
Yeah, and Devitt, to his credit, the man, besides, I am not a homosexual male, but he is one attractive motherfucker. But along with that, you know, from, you know, when I started watching the dude back in either, it had to be 2008. I heard about him in 2007, but I didn't see him until 2008. But from the time that he started and was really in the New Japan scene, you know, to now, the guy drastically, and I mean drastically, fucking changed for the better. Because I remember seeing matches, because I heard a lot of buzz about the dude. But then I heard that there was a background of him being Wild Pegasus 2 in New Japan. And I was like, there's another Wild Pegasus? Or no, actually Pegasus Kid, because Pegasus Kid had the mask. But Prince Devitt actually wrestled as Pegasus Kid 2. And I was like, who the hell are they going to have fill Benoit's shoes? And I watched the matches and I was not impressed at all. But, you know, the guy became quick in a short amount of time. So in that respect,
gotcha.
They are huge shoes to fill. Anyway, Okada, along with Sakuraba and Yano, defeated the Bullet Club featuring Bad Luck Fale, who's actually had two pinfall victories on Okada in tag matches as of late, as well as Tama Tonga and Yujiro Takahashi. Okay match. Next one, Satoshi Kojima, along with Naito, your boy that you love Naito. Screaming his name out.
I love Naito. He's good. He's really good, man.
Yeah, he's another guy that, like, I was not a big fan of his, but he's grown on me in a short amount of time.
Yeah, he stepped his game up the last couple of months.
Yeah. So Kojima, Naito, Nagata defeated Team Chaos, which was Nakamura, Tomohiro Ishii, Yoshihashi. This match was, you know, this is when business was really picking up on the show, in my opinion. You know, at least for like the random, well, not so random, but like these tag matches. This one was incredible. The tag team championships, IWGP tag team championships are back with the Bullet Club. Gallows and Anderson defeated Mayu Tag, which features Hiroki Goto and Katsuyori Shibata. Again, phenomenal match. I'm surprised that Goto and Shibata had the tag titles for as short as they did. These guys...
Not even a month.
These guys deserve a longer reign, but...
Yeah, they busted their ass in that tournament, too.
These guys have been busting their ass for years.
So, yeah, and the Bullet Club's been stepping up their face paint game, by the way, too.
Just oh, yeah. We'll get into that for the next show. And the big upset. Well, not as much of an upset, but actually it is. Actually, this is an upset, I would say. AJ Styles defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And this is the first time that...
Gaijin's had it more than once?
No. I think this is the first time AJ Styles defeated Tanahashi in a singles match.
Right, because he beat Okada for the belt.
No, I think Styles beat him in TNA, but as far as New Japan goes,
right?
Because these guys did have a feud over in TNA. I forgot right. about that. They had a few matches with.
But this is the sixth time a Gaijin's won a title, right?
Yeah,
and this is the second, and I believe this is the first time the same person's won it twice. The same Gaijin.
I believe so, because I think Vader's. Championship reign was only once.
Right, he didn't win it twice. He won the all. He won the all Japan Triple Crown thing, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Because who else was there? There was like some Russian dude that I don't remember. Bob Sapp. And that wasn't for very long. Scott Flash Norton
and Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar. My God. If you haven't seen Brock Lesnar in New Japan,
yeah, go check. That's like the second thing I did when I ordered the network. I watched that, and I watched Great Muda and Hulk Hogan from 1993.
Yeah, yo, Brock Lesnar like beat the shit out of everybody that came across him.
There was
nobody who lasted more than 10 minutes with that guy.
Seriously, guys, if you can't find it on Daily Motion, pay the $2 a week. Go on New Japan World, get it. If you have Google Chrome, it translates it. There's like a disclaimer now at the bottom of the screen. It's worth it, dude. It's worth the $2.
Oh yeah, it was $8.45. Come on.
Yeah, you can't beat that with a stick. All right. Any other?
And you can't.
And you can't
beat that.
And you can't teach that Soft.
Rage, I can probably teach you that. But
shout out to Rage.
Guarantee that you get it.
Rage put up a something with the on the show page about soft.
Yeah, I saw that.
Good for him. All right, let's just get into these results so we can keep the show moving.
Yeah, for New Beginning in Sendai, this had a few. To be quite honest, the Osaka show was the one to really watch. The Sendai show is really good, but Osaka was the best. But let me get into it. What's it called? First match, Captain New Japan and Manabu Nakanishi defeated Kojima and Yohei Komatsu. 6 minutes, 19 seconds, you know, not too bad. Red Dragon putting on a clinic, defeating Jay White, who I talked about not too long ago, teaming up with Tiger Mask 4. I definitely suggest checking that out. This guy, Jay White, you know, keep him on your radar. This guy's going to be something down the road. And definitely check out that singles match that he had with Alex Shelley on what I believe was the Road to the New Beginning. I'll have to double check and let everybody know. But third match in, my man Alex Shelley and Kushida, along with Mascara Dorada, defeated Bullet Club featuring Kenny Omega and the Jackson Boys, the Jackson 2, the Young Bucks.
The Jackson 2.
In six-man tag action, this was a pretty good match. Like when first time I ever saw the Young Bucks was at was live at Chikara King of Trios, and been hooked ever since. And you know, I love Alex Shelley and Kushida, the Time Splitters. You know, you can't get any better than these six men that are in the ring. In a match that kind of surprised me a little bit, because usually with these NWA titles, they're pretty much just switching them around. It's very obvious that I have no idea what the hell's going on with the NWA. I don't know. You know, I never hear about any of their, shows that are happening in America. For the most part, I just see, you know, the NWA championships being defended in New Japan. They could be happening at, I'm sure they are happening at, house shows, you know, throughout America, but the matches that really matter in New Japan. But current champion, Jushin Thunder Liger, successfully defended the New Japan World, the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship against Chase Owens. I was pretty sure that Chase Owens was going to get that belt back, but he didn't. Fair match, probably not one of Juice Thunder Liger's best matches, but the guy's done it all. What else can the guy do?
You know, Juice Thunder Liger is 50 years old, right?
Yeah, and he's still wrestling, you know, better matches than guys that are like in their primes. You know, an average Juice Thunder Liger match is normally some guy's like best match ever.
Yeah, I'm just putting that out there. He's 50 years old and he's still doing it. Like, you know,
he's gonna be doing it at PWS this Saturday, right?
Against Boom Boom Cole Cabana, yeah. Wow. Cole Cabana had a nice write up in the Rolling Stone magazine this past week.
For his podcast, or
no, for his turning chicken salad, building like this little empire, you know, between the podcast and the T-shirt business with Crossing Tees, and you know. Him just not getting the break he should have got years ago, and just him making a good living for himself. He's one of the first guys in the business to not be signed by the big couple of federations, and he's making probably more money than half the rosters of some of his friends. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, man.
Good for him. And you know, I'll plug his podcast because I love it. Art of Wrestling is great. And it's insightful, and he talks to guys that we still root for, we're big fans of. And let's face it, man, he's friends with CM Punk, and he tends not to use that as a springboard for anything.
Yeah.
Like, Punk will just jump on his show once in a while to say hello before they open a show, or Punk uses...
He's not throwing it out there, yeah. Like, everybody, hey, CM Punk's on my show, you
right,
know?
Right, and Punk, he had Cliff Compton on, Punk jumped on because they're all boys. And then, of course, obviously Thanksgiving when Punk dropped the knowledge and everybody about what was going on with his contract and shit like that. So, I mean,
yeah.
Again, it's a credit to him, And I'm happy that a pro wrestler, besides Hulk Hogan, made it to a mainstream magazine, you know?
So, hey, man, a guy like that, you know, when you hustle long and strong, you're going to find a way. Actually, that reminds me. I almost forgot about this. Actually, this is perfect time because the next match is actually the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Actually, I'll get into the result of that, and then I'll tell my story. Hiroshi Tenzan defeated champion Rob Conway, the Iron Man, or the Con Man.
The Con Man.
Depending on when you remember Rob Conway.
Pretty much.
You know, won the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, his first singles title win since 2005.
Now I saw a picture of Tenzan with the belt. You know, again, it's cool.
Yeah, man.
So, I'm sorry.
You know, I just remembered this after last week when I just briefly, mentioned, you know, talking with El Generico after his match with 1-2-3 Kid at Chikara's King of Trios. And, you know, the guy, you know, briefly broke, you know, kayfabe, you know, for that moment. And, but, you know, next to our table, there was the Beyond table, there was Generico, and next to him was Colt Cabana. And at the time, Colt Cabana was the NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
That's when he was doing his program with, what's his face? Scrap Iron, Adam Pearce.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And he had the NWA Championship at the table.
Nice.
And I forgot, I don't... What?
Nice.
Yeah. What was it? It was just like one... It was just... I think it was like whenever... I went in for the fan conclave that they have before... I think like on a Saturday before Trios commences, they have like a fan conclave. And, you know, I was there hanging out. And I, you know, stuck around because I was going to be at the Beyond table. And Cabana just leaves the fucking belt to the NWA World Heavyweight Championship at the table.
Yeah. Well,
it just walks away, and he's gone for like, you know, it's going to be hours before the show starts.
It just goes to show it's not, again, the belt has, you know, any belt at this point has, it's pretty, it doesn't have the meaning it did back in the day, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. And totally get it.
Dude just leaves it at the table. Everybody that's like, you know, hanging out at their tables, you know, waiting for, you know, just hanging out, waiting for the show to start. We're all just like hanging out. We're like, he left the belt there. And, you know, I really kicking myself in, you know, seat of my pants for this. You know, I did take a photo with the belt, but you know, I'm just kicking myself in the pants. I just fucking didn't steal that fucking belt and bring it to my car and then come back into the venue like nothing happened. Because everybody that was like hanging out there was grabbing the belt, putting it on, taking photos with it, everything that you could imagine somebody doing with that belt, they were doing with it. And I was just thinking to myself last week, shit, if I knew what I knew, you know, granted, I probably would have been on a lot of people's shit list, but hey, dude, if you're leaving the NWA World Heavyweight Championship on a table and walking away like it ain't mean nothing, I'll give it a good home. You know, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
It's true.
So anyway, let me continue on with the results. Kota Ibushi and your boy Naito defeated Kazushi Sakuraba and Toru Yano. Okay match. Sakuraba's, you know, had his better days. Yano's more of a comedy gimmick. Decent match, you know, fun, interesting match to check out. Team Chaos of Okada and Yoshihashi defeated Bullet Club again, which featuring Bad Luck Fale and Yujiro Takahashi. Next match, Hiroki Goto with Hiroshi Tanahashi, along with Katsuyori Shibata, defeated Bullet Club featuring Doc Gallows, Carl Anderson, and Tama Tonga wearing the Kiss makeup.
Yeah, buddy.
Gallows with the demon. Anderson is a star child, and Tama Tonga is the cat.
That's right, the cat man, Peter Chris.
And Space Ace was nowhere to be found.
yeah, no love to Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
No love. Space Ace gets no love.
Yeah. So I didn't realize that the Never Championship was vacated, but apparently it was.
Really?
Ishii has regained the title, defeating Tomoaki Honma. I know a lot of people were just kind of like, you know, it's not like the biggest deal. Like, the guy doesn't really win any matches, Honma. So it's kind of like, well, why is this guy getting, shot at the championship?
Because he entertains the crowd. Like,
because he's that fucking good. That's why he's really getting shot.
He's fucking solid. You know what? I think I'm hoping they build him up to something because, like you said, he loses a lot. He's like the Dolph Ziggler of New Japan.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know how to word it. He's like the Barry Horowitz of New Japan. But if Barry Horowitz could out wrestle like the entire roster, like, the guy's got the skills. He's a former, deathmatch wrestler. But when you watch this guy in the ring, it's kind of like in my opinion, he deserves a lot better than what he's getting. But for now, you know, he is like the ultimate underdog. Like, when this guy like legit wins a championship or a significant singles match, you're going to hear those fucking gooks, you know, get as loud as they possibly can. And those slant eyes are going to be wide open when that happens.
All right. Is that it, or is it more?
No, the main event for the New Beginning in Sendai, Shinsuke Nakamura, everybody's favorite now, the Intercontinental Champion, successfully defended his championship against Blue Justice, the anti-aging hero, Yuji Nagata, another dude who is older than dirt.
He's got to be around 52.
He's got to be in his 50s. Because this guy,
he wrestled
still
in WCW back in the day.
Yeah, he was a WCW guy, managed by Sonny Ono.
Sonny Ono, that's your boy.
Yeah, man. I keep forgetting to get a hold of that guy. I need to get a hold of him. But, like, I have him on Facebook, but I'm seeing, like, his daughter's getting married, or this thing is happening, and that thing's happening. Like, I want to catch him at a good time. I don't want to, you know, say, hey, man, do my show when the dude's, like, in Hawaii or something for his daughter's wedding, you know? But we're going to get him. He told me yes. All back right. At Legends of the Ring. He gave me his card.
I know. I was there.
With his email that doesn't work. But right, well, we're going to make it happen.
Hopefully we can get that. If not, no big deal. We have no show content to go around until
at least. Oh, yeah. And we do fine on our own.
Yeah, we actually do really good on our own.
And hopefully we chase down the white elephant that is Chris Dickinson. The rip to our Brell.
Yeah, speaking of rip, my wife and son just got matching rip shirts from the .com on clearance.
Nice. So how much did it go for?
Like $8 or something like that.
What? I'm going to have to go on.
Yeah, go to the .com. You know my wife pays retail for nothing, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she bought a whole bunch of stuff from the .com on cheap. All right. I have one more news item, then Facebook questions. We'll take break, and then we got to kick ass.
Oh, actually, before you do any of that.
Okay.
Totally forgot. Like, I do have the New Japan Cup contest going. I got all 16 contestants from the board.
Okay.
I'm gonna do that next week. I haven't had any chance to really put together everybody's names, and
we got a couple of
on the show next week. We're gonna draw names out of a Shawn Michaels looking hat.
Okay.
And we're gonna put together a little contest. I got a excellent prize in mind.
When is the cup?
It is. Let me get the dates. It's happening in March.
Because if you want, we can do it during the pre-show for the Ring of Honor pre-show. We could do it live on the air. Or you want to do it next week? Yeah. It's up to you. I don't care.
Let's. We'll think about it.
Okay. We have a couple of entries already. We have a couple of guys committed. They already sent their
message. Yeah, I got all of them.
Oh, you got all the guys? Okay.
Yeah, I got all the guys. I just need to actually make some time just to you know, put everything together.
Right, right. Okay.
It's going to be happening first round is going to be March 5th, second round March 8th, semifinals March 15th, and the final is on March 15th as well.
All right, good, good. I'll be home for that 21st.
So three days of.
So how it's going to work is Dave has a bunch of our listeners, put the names in a hat, pull them out, and your name will be attached to one of the guys in the bracket. If that particular guy in the bracket wins, you will get a prize.
Yeah, and we'll probably be working from the bottom up.
Right. And
I know there's a lot of guys who are like, oh, I want Okada, I want Tanahashi. No, it ain't happening like that.
No,
you're gonna
get a random
blind draw.
Like we do with the Rumble, same thing.
Yeah, man.
Same concept.
Can't pick the good guys that are probably going to win, you know?
Yeah, and so, like, you know, and then whoever has that particular wrestler and he wins the tournament, you'll win a prize from our prize closet. And we always give good prizes, so.
Yeah, man.
All right. If you have any other news, I have one more news item, then I have Facebook questions. We'll take a quick break. I got to wet the whistle.
All right, go for it.
Samoa Joe no longer with Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, I saw that. That's I think, be quite honest, I don't really watch too much TNA, Impact, whatever it's being called nowadays, but you know, he's one of those guys who came in strong a long time ago, but they really dropped the ball on this dude.
So this broke on Monday afternoon, and on his Twitter, and I quote, "I have decided to part ways with Impact Wrestling. My very best to them moving forward, and my eternal thanks to the fans." He didn't write why he was leaving, but he worked there for a decade. Now, the first thing I see on social media, and this is from people we know, people we don't know, they just automatically make a fat joke. Not because I'm a fat guy, but I got to be honest with you. I don't know anybody else in the fucking business besides Falaba and maybe Kevin Steen that are alive that can move like fucking Samoa Joe can.
Okay. Yo, dude, look at guys like Bam Bam Bigelow.
I'm talking about guys who are alive. Bam Bam is...
No, I'm still saying, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like. It's about, like, how you look and perform in that ring.
You know, everybody's like, oh, making a fat joke. But you know what? The guy can legit wrestle. The guy can run. I mean, his stuff in Ring of Honor is brilliant. His stuff with Kurt Angle and TNA was great. When Taz was managing him, that was really, really cool shit. I hope he goes somewhere. I hope he goes back to Ring of Honor. I hope he goes to Lucha Underground. I know he'll be at PWS in a couple of weeks. So, I mean, he's getting work. You know, I just want him to stay in the business. I think he's a good person. And I met him. He's a good guy. And also, he's a fucking awesome wrestler. So, I'm rooting for him. And I am wholeheartedly rooting for Joe. I hope he... You know, I hope the weight doesn't become an issue for him. It hasn't really slowed him down much because the guy can still go. He has put on a couple of pounds in the last couple of years. But let's be honest, TNA hasn't been using him. So instead of him...
He should be. The guy's a great hand.
That's what I'm saying. So now he probably slacked off.
He's
got
more
lazy.
Than a great hand, man.
He got lazy. He got married. Had a family. And now, you know, put on a couple... I have like 40 pounds of marriage weight that I just put on the last 4 or 5 years. So, I mean, I understand. I totally get it. I think it's a question of now, you know, what you could make a living not going somewhere like the E or Impact Wrestling. So I hope Joe does the right thing and I hope he's okay. So, and I'll leave it as that. Okay.
Wait a second. I'm looking at the WWE shop clearance.
I told you, dude.
There's some like weird shit in here. Like,
yeah, my wife bought like Christmas stuff. She bought a whole bunch of shit from there.
I'm sure she did. Yeah. First of all, I've seen the $9.99 shirt is now going for $7.99.
Right.
There is a god-awful, ugly AJ Lee baseball cap with her face on it and a ponytail on the back of it going for $5.99. And I think this is something our listener Harry should get a hold of. There's a Sting ugly holiday sweatshirt going for $7.99.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm trying to find that Rip shirt. I saw the kids version.
Yeah, they got matching shirts. So maybe the adult ones are sold out already. Anyway, we got a couple of Facebook questions. I posted the thread on the 16th on Monday. our boy Felonious Punk from NXT Cast and Sleeve Notes. He wants to know, what do you suppose Iceman King Parson's hair looks like when the cornrows are out?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to say nappy. Choppy
I think it looks, it's going to look even worse. It's got to look like he's in the, like a member of the casualties. That's what it's going to look like.
Pretty much. Choppy wanted our thoughts on JYD as a worker. I sent Choppy episode 32. the day you overslept and I had to interview Greg Klein.
Yeah, man. That interview was at 9 a.m.
Yeah, I know. He changed it on us last minute. But again, I'll just be brief. JYD before the E was the Black Hulk Hogan of the Mid-South. He was everything to that part of the world. And he was a showman. He wasn't a great over the top wrestler, but he was over and he was a good hand. And when Bill Watts and Ernie Ladd had the book, he was Superman.
Hmm.
Pretty much. Let's see.
And whatever he lacked in talent, you know, he made up for in charisma and just presence. You know, I was a huge Junkyard Dog fan as a kid, and, you know, I didn't know jack shit about work rate. And even now, knowing what I know, you know, I'll go out of my way to watch a Junkyard Dog match. Not expecting a five-star classic, but I'm expected to be entertained when I watch it, you know?
Brian Kaufman wants to know, thanks for checking in, Brian. Have you had a chance to read the re-release of The Death of WCW? No, I have not. I'm actually going to lend Choppy the Junkyard Dog book. Let's see.
I need to check out the new version of Death of WCW. I have the original version of it, but
I've never read it, so I'm going to have to get
it. Oh, it's incredible. It's a great read. Yeah. Like, you'll get a great understanding of what was really going on and what actually caused the demise, or actually who in particular caused the demise of WCW.
Yeah, you gotta lend me that book. And finally, our boy Gary Shaw wants to know, what would anyone else have had the success in Mid-South the way Junkyard Dog did in the years he was the man? And because he was so popular, it was inevitable that Iceman, King Parsons, and others who tried to follow him were going to flop.
Wait, say that one again?
He said, would anyone else have had the success in Mid-South the same way the Junkyard Dog did when he was the man, when he was on top? And because he was so popular, it was inevitable that Iceman, Parsons, and other guys that followed him were going to flop. And he said he got the Junkyard Dog book after listening to our interview last year. He really enjoyed it. So thank you very much for checking in. You know what? I think, honestly, Gary, like I just mentioned, it depends on who had the book. If guys like Bill Watts let Ernie Ladd book that whole entire time, you would have had black champions like Butch Reed for a long period of time and maybe Iceman King Parsons, because they were both talented wrestlers. Or Ron Simmons if he was going to that territory at the time.
I don't know. Well, what's it in Greg Klein's book, and you know, even Watts, you know, talks about it. It was very hard to capture lightning in a bottle one more time. You know, when they struck gold with JYD, you know, actually even before JYD came around, they tried doing it with Ray Candy. That wasn't working. They tried doing it with Ernie Ladd, but he was too old at the time.
Right, but was Ernie Ladd booking? That's the thing. I think it just depends on who had the book.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think...
I don't know. It's really hard to say, because it seemed like those guys at the very least had a level head, you know, when they were booking who was actually going to be, you know, the guy.
Right.
And at the same time, you know, keep in mind, you know, for a lot of the territories, a territory normally had like one black guy. If they did have another black guy, it was, you know, maybe it was two or three max. I think three may even be pushing it. And, you know, a lot of guys will, you know, contest, you know. It was kind of like an unspoken, unwritten rule at the time that
right.
A lot of these territories, they only had one black guy, kind of as if it was an attraction, you know, in a way. Even in Japan, you know, guys were very, you know, black wrestlers were very protective of the spot. You know, what was it? I recall in a shoot interview that I heard with Kamala years ago that, you know, he was trying to get into Japan, but Abdul the Butcher was, you know, the guy over there. So it was incredibly hard for him to kind of, you know, make a name for himself in Japan because Abdullah, you know, had control. He was the guy.
Right.
And he wasn't going to let his spot go to anybody else.
Right.
All especially right. Somebody filling the crazy, you know, bloody black guy, you know?
Yeah. Well, you guys are slacking on questions. We see a lot more questions, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Need some more educated questions.
No, these are good questions today, though. I mean, Choppy is a newer fan. He hasn't gone back to the archive, so, and I'll give Choppy a pass because he's a good dude. I met him in person. You'll get to meet him soon, too, I think. He's a local guy.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a quick break, plug all our friends, and we'll come back. We're continuing our tribute to Black History Month. Sad it's almost coming to an end, but we should be going tonight. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live on rantdmradio.com, and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you. Nah.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
Nah, I only hit her one time.
He said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog, but I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Now he's more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. You
oh, yes, works.
That was all so right. Disrespectful.
All right.
Nah, I can't have you.
That's
you,
why your,
you
girl's, about,
like,
that's why your
star,
girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, ice. Surfer.
Tony.
What am I ever questioning your manhood?
Yo, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show. Every Saturday evening on rantemradio.com.
Rant Entertainment Media. That's right. Go to rantemradio.com. For some fantastic programming. Every Tuesday live at 8 p.m. you have The Rant with Double A and Tony C. Every Wednesday night you have the Turnbuckle Throwbacks live with Phil Rea, the Impact Player, and Dave Megapowers. Every Thursday evening you have the Rexplex at 7 p.m. and Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. Every Saturday evening live at 11 p.m. Mr. Will.i.am Morgan with the Wrestling Call-In Show. Every Sunday, live at 5 p.m., it's the What Are You Reading comic book show with Jordan Surfer and a weekly visit from the Lex Experience podcast. It's the hit. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio.
Hey. Thelonious Punk here, and I'm interrupting an otherwise quality podcast to let you know about our little show, NXT Cast. It's the only international podcast devoted to the future of the WWE, NXT. I'm joined each week by Chris NXN Nixon and the Austrian Cyborg Bernard Binder to go over the latest NXT rumors and news, as well as an in-depth analysis of the latest episodes and the current roster. So if you're looking for a wrestling podcast that covers arguably the best in-ring product that WWE is producing today, then find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, and NXTcast.net, the international podcast devoted to the yellow and black, NXT Cast.
As soon as you know what our show, head on over to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. That's right, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com for 10 awesome shows. You have the After Midnight podcast, the Midnight Jury podcast, Thursday Night Destruction, the Neckbreaker podcast, the Inconclusive Breakdown podcast, Apex Radio, part of Apex Wrestling Entertainment, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, 2.5 Wrestlers, King of the Indies podcast, and of course, the Shining Wizards. So what are you waiting for? ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's entertainment here.
GeeksOfTheIndustry.com. With such fantastic programming as Chattastrophe, Pro Wrestling Nation, Two for Flinching, Sleeve Notes, Wrestling with Smut, Cart Glitch International, the Mega Powers Radio Podcast, and the flagship Geeks of the Industry. Go to GeeksOfTheIndustry.com now.
You heard Vanilla Ice got arrested?
Again?
Like, just like today. Apparently he was doing some kind of, he does like these construction jobs now. He does like this DIY show where he takes people's houses and fixes them. Well, apparently he was doing a house, and like the next house that next door to the one he was fixing was like in foreclosure.
Uh-huh.
And he robbed it.
Oh, shit.
And he got busted.
Well, so much for that show.
Word to your mother. Of course I'm playing it because too, because Iceman Parsons, but...
Did he ever come out to this song?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because I'll have to admit, you know, this is the first throwback I'm a bit stumped on, because I never really got into Iceman King Parsons. He's somebody that I've heard about for a very long time. I've seen some of his matches at this point. But he's somebody who I haven't really, you know, jumped into. So you're going to have to school me on the Iceman.
I got a glimpse of Iceman around 1989, 1990, when we started getting cable in the neighborhood. And ESPN was playing the old, you know, world-class, you know, episodes. And
he was the token black guy for... world-class championship wrestling.
No, he wasn't, though. You had guys like Brickhouse Brown. You had the PYT Express
in world-class.
Yeah, all those. And you know what? I can tell you this. The only thing I didn't get is that his real name. Because he went as King Parsons. I know he's around, like, my father-in-law's age. He's got to be, like, 65, 66 years old now.
Yeah.
He was trained by Nick Kozak in St. Louis. Made his debut in the late 70s, early 80s. He was in the NWA initially. He did Paul Bosch in Texas. Went up to Don Owens up in Portland, Oregon, the Pacific Northwest Territory.
Yep.
You know, he's a Missouri guy, so I know Pasta would probably have some more insight about him, because Pasta's a big historian when it comes to his area of that part of the world. But then he actually relocated to Arkansas. You know, but a lot of guys didn't cut their teeth until they went to Jim Crockett in Mid-Atlantic. I didn't know he was a tag team champion. Didn't know that with... I believe he feuded with Don Canerdal had Jim Nelson before he had Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah.
So Don Canerdal was a was a lifelong tag team wrestler. We spoke about Don Canoro last year with the whole feud we had with Steamboat and Briscoe, Steamboat and Youngblood.
The final conflict.
But they feuded over the tag team championship. Him and Porkchop Cash were a tag team, like legit tag team. He still wrestles Porkchop Cash.
Wait, Porkchop Cash is still wrestling?
Yeah, dude, he's only semi-retired, apparently.
Semi-retired. Yeah. I have a shoot interview with him. The guy looks as old as dirt.
Dude, he's 60 years old, and
he looks like Mumra from Thundercats.
He came out of retirement to fight a three-way with the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express. His tag team partners were Coco Beware and the pair formed the PYT Express. He won a championship in 2005. NWA Mississippi Cruiserweight Championship.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know, he wrestled Bruce Pritchard, who you know better as Brother Love. Again.
Who loves you.
Right. Exactly. So, I didn't know him and Porkchop Cash were a tag team.
Neither did I. The only person that I knew Porkchop Cash teamed with was... I forgot his name, but they were the tag. They were the original Bruise Brothers.
Matt Legend says that he looks like the Lady of Rage, the rapper. That's pretty funny.
Oh my God.
He then moved. I mean, he went to World Class and had an instantaneous feud with the One Man Gang and Gentleman Chris Adams. He formed the Rock and Soul Connection with Rock and Roll Buck Zumoff, the Kid Toucher.
Oh my God.
Had a feud with the Long Riders, Bill and Scott Irwin. Was in All-Star Wrestling for a little while in Texas. Formed a dream team with Tiger Conway Jr. And then they feuded with the Golden Brothers, Mike and Dizzy.
Along with Michael Jordan and Larry Bird.
Larry Bird, Isaiah Thomas.
Your dream team?
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No, all joking aside. King Parsons, mainly a tag team wrestler, but...
I thought he was mainly a singles wrestler because a lot of the stuff that I've seen him do was... Well, let me start it this way. Like the guy really came onto my radar was when I got WWE 24/7, the precursor to the network, because they showed more territory stuff on there, and they showed that was my first healthy heaping of world class. Yeah, and that's where I mainly saw the guy. And
he was a tag team wrestler. Things changed drastically for him in the late 80s, because that's how he came into my radar before I started watching him on TV. He, from like 87 to like 90, the dude was in my wrestling magazines every month, whether it was Inside Wrestling, PWI, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He went to UWF. He was in some kind of tag tournament. Feuded with Chris Adams and Savannah Jack. Savannah Jack, another popular African-American wrestler who we might have to do next year. On for Black Achievement, Black History Month, Savannah Jack was around for a minute. He just went around the West area, the Midwest and the West area, and then here's what I didn't know. He joined the Fabulous Freebirds.
He was I know Tony C. You know, throws around the comment the Blackbirds.
Yeah,
but he literally was a Blackbird.
Right, Michael Hayes went to the NWA at that point. He went to Mid-Atlantic again for the Crockett's, and he Iceman King Parsons teamed up with the Freebirds to get revenge on Dick Von Erichs.
But yeah, I read about that. Like, I didn't know there was a legit Blackbird, and then right. He actually did form a stable called the Blackbirds.
Yeah, he had a team called the Blackbirds with Perry Jackson and Harold Harris. Yeah, that was the stable in 1988. Now,
yeah, not familiar with those guys.
No, Action Jackson was what do you call it?
Oh, I've heard of Action Jackson.
Yeah, I don't know who Harold Harris is. I've only seen him on TV like twice when they were the Blackbirds. Now, you saw him in the late 80s when he won the American Heavyweight Championship from Chris Adams. Because then he feuded with guys like Rick Rude and Kerry Von Erich.
Yeah, that was like real, like, what was it, when it was WCWA, right?
Right, and then he, like, Super Clash, I'm doing this by memory now. Super Clash 3, I think, I'm doing this by memory because I have my notes. Super Clash 3 is when him and Von Erich swapped the belts again.
Because I was reading, I knew that he turned heel at one point, but I didn't know that he, you know, won whatever, like, the major title, which was the American Championship, whatever it's called. I'm not a world-class guy. I need to really catch up on what's on the network and, you know, do some of my research. Because that stuff from World Class was amazing. Didn't matter what era, there was really good stuff. But I didn't know the guy turned heel and won the title from wait, didn't he win the when it was the WCWA World Heavyweight Championship?
American Heavyweight Championship, and then he lost that title to Rick Rude.
Okay.
And Kerry Von Erich won the world class title, then lost it to Parsons, and then there was some kind of controversy. I didn't see the match where it was one of those lights went out.
The lights went out, and the black man,
right, and then
the various
Parsons,
things.
The lights go on. Parsons wins the match, and he's the first. Technically, now again, Bubba Brazil, Ron Simmons.
There was a bunch of guys that are considered
the first black heavyweight champion in any promotion.
I was doing some research on the very first black wrestler, Vero Small, and you know, that guy's considered a first black world heavyweight champion. Like, he won like a variation of the I think it was called like the world like collar and elbow championship or something like that. So
I mean,
you know, there's so many guys that they have legitimate claim to being of the first black world heavyweight champion, but again, Ron Simmons in WCW, when WCW was a name, for now has a legit claim as the first black world heavyweight champion, because it's as current as it can get right now, and he had more exposure winning that championship than all those other guys that we just named.
I can tell you this, that another thing that I thought was funny was in the early 90s when Herb Abrams was doing the UWF, there was a channel here in New York called Sports Channel. This is before baseball teams had their own networks. Like, the Mets have SNY now. The Yankees have the YES Network. The Braves have the Peach Network, whatever it is. But this is when local affiliates, when cable television was just putting on Mets games and whatever. And Sports Channel put on wrestling. They put on the Global Wrestling Federation before ESPN got a hold of it. And they put on UWF. We all know Colonel De Beers in real life apparently didn't like black people either. But that's just a rumor. I can't confirm that.
Well, there was this, I don't know. There was a lot of guys that were.
Well, there was an angle where
some of these guys had, you know, clan cards. Dick Murdoch had a clan card.
Yeah.
Killer Carl Cox, you know, supposedly fashioned his name after, you know, actually being in the clan. But again, a lot of these are just rumors.
Rumors, yeah. So they had an angle where De Beers was just being rough on one of the African-American referees. And, and of course, Iceman King Parsons makes the save. Winds up doing a feud. Apparently, he played off like, that's my cousin, blah, blah, blah. And they started a feud there. Parsons then reformed the Blackbirds again in Global. With this time just, I believe, Action Jackson. And then they feuded with You Know Who, the Ebony Experience.
Yes.
Booker T and Stevie Ray. And then he went to work for Lawless Promotion, which was USWA. He was managed by Skandar Akbar and Percy Pringle. Rest in peace. Both rest in peace. I think they're both dead. But... Now, here's where it gets crazy. This is like the late 90s, now early 2000s. He took the death of Chris Adams pretty bad, apparently. Chris Adams was a staple in that part of the world. Chris Adams trained half that roster, Steve Austin included.
Yeah.
Anybody who came out of that territory was trained by gentleman Chris Adams. He ran the school, and he was a big part of that promotion, and... I think Chris Adams is definitely a subject of a throwback in the future. Not just his matches, but his career too.
Yeah, he has an interesting backstory, and you know, he's the for all intent and purposes, the innovator of the super kick.
So he takes the death of Chris Adams pretty bad, and then he gets into a serious car wreck, and he's retired after that. But I got to tell you, I was a big fan, and I was he had a sick – I mean, he had that butt-butt, that hip thing that he did.
Yeah.
But he had a sick pile driver.
I haven't seen the man's pile driver.
Yeah, you got to see his pile driver. There's a, I sent you a match.
The Harley Race match.
Him and Harley Race was okay. Now, here's a guy who's run-of-the-mill and gets to wrestle Harley Race on TV. And if he was terrible, Harley Race would still make him look good. I mean, it's Harley Race, you know, the king of the half-hour headlock. I think it's and I'm not because he's black, but I think because he was African American and because the stereotype was so bad back then, I think them throwing him to Harley Race at that point was like almost like a tribute, like a respect thing. Because you just didn't get to wrestle guys. Because when guys came into the territory, into your territory, they don't wrestle the mid-card guys. You know, when Dusty Rhodes came into Florida, he was wrestling a Graham. He wasn't wrestling fucking Scott Irwin.
Well, you know? I don't know. That's not always the case. Sometimes they would throw, the bottom card guy, you know, at the champ. I remember
it's few and far between Omega Powers.
Yeah, because I remember hearing Lanny Poffo talking about how he had an NWA World Heavyweight Championship match against Terry Funk.
Yeah, but it wasn't televised. It wasn't like, you know.
But still, he got a shot. You know, in his hometown.
Well, yeah, that's different. He's not going to get that shot in Arkansas. You know, like if when Harley Race comes to when you come to St. Louis, and you're a top guy in your promotion. When Dusty Rhodes came to St. Louis, he wrestled Harley Race. He didn't wrestle, you know, Bugsy McGraw. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's my point. So when Harley Race comes to Texas, he gets a Von Erich. No. He gets the Von Erichs, but not this night. You know,
he actually had he got obviously Iceman King Parsons.
Right.
But David Von Erich, who
was in his corner.
Yeah, who was being groomed, you know, to potentially be the World Heavyweight Champion.
Right. So you see, like, I think that
like, I sorry to cut you off, but it's like when we did the what was it? Like they faced each other episode where it was just like random guys that you didn't think would be going against each other went against each other, and there was the NWA World's Heavyweight title match with Ric Flair going against Coco Ware with guess who, Dusty Rhodes in his corner,
right? Because Coco was a main player in that part of the world, you know. I mean, that's pretty much it.
But he wasn't going to be the guy that was going to pin Flair's.
No, of course not. But you see where I'm going with that. I think it's just a tribute to them getting, you know, them getting the rub. Yeah, of course.
But it was a really big deal that Iceman King Parsons was getting that shot in the first place, because it is the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. And second of all, it was a great testament of how over the guy was at the time. Cause there's a few points where Harley Race is outside on the ring and the fans are doing a fast count for the guy on the outside. So Iceman can win the match. And it doesn't matter what the referee was counting. The fans were counting 1, 2, 3, 4 in unison. I don't think there was anybody inside of that sportatorium that wasn't trying to fast count Harley Race on the outside to lose the championship. Because if I remember correctly, for the NWA title, you could lose it on a DQ or count out back then.
He was also infamous for his mic skills, using many catchphrases such as Rudy Poot, on which the Rock's Rudy Poot in the ass was.
Forgot about that.
Hubba Bubba, not a speck of trouble. Like Mama says, it be that way sometimes, have mercy. You know, it was just a tribute. I mean, he's what he was solid. Solid. And the guy had a really good run in almost every territory he was in. And had championships in every territory he was in.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I'll say this, you know, it was always like the black dude. Didn't matter where they wrestled, but they were always the face. And they could be like in the deep swamps of Clan County and they'd still be the face, which is incredible. Didn't matter what, you know, era it was, you know, whether it was, you know, Bobo Beware, I mean, not Bobo Beware, but Bobo Brazil, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, the dude was over then. You know, if the guy wasn't really going out of his way, like Abdul the Butcher, to be a heel, they were over as faces.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, this guy, I'm glad we picked him this year. I just think we have to just, I mean, there's not much, unless people have bootlegs of him. I'm sure when he puts up more world-class episodes, he'll be in them. Because, again, like...
Yeah, they've been kind of slow with that because they reached, like, their max, like, I think about within, like, 6 months of the network being on. It's been over a year now.
Exactly.
Exactly. They need to add some more world class because those episodes are great. We actually, what was it? We did the Flair Von Erich cage match, the heel turn of the Michael Hayes and the Freebirds, based off of that one episode that's on the network right now.
Absolutely. All right. I think that's it. I don't have anything else.
Well, what was your favorite Iceman King Parsons match?
My favorite match was either him and Race or him and the Freebirds against the Von Erichs. Only because there was a good story behind it. I mean, I'm sure there was more when he won. I mean, the stuff with him and Kerry at Super Clash was good. But I like that six-man match with the Freebirds and against the Von Erichs.
You know, there's somebody. I forgot where. I think it may be like WrestleTapes.net or something like that. But there's somebody who has a full collection of every single Freebirds versus Von Erichs match.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how many discs it is, but it's a lot. I think it may be WrestleTapes.net.
Well, I tell you.
Somebody has it.
Maybe we should split the bill on that and get that and just back it up and start doing a series, Von Erichs versus the Freebirds.
I mean, a whole year. I think it was like 10 discs or something like that. It was like.
We touched upon it briefly last year, but
yeah, we need to do an episode on that, and I think we might have to try to track down that collection and watch it. I know it was like an obscene amount of material, but it ranged from like whatever territory that these guys were feuding in, whether it was world class or another organization, because I know that there were different promotions that were represented in this retrospective. And, you know, these guys fought all over the fucking place. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's just that, yeah, I want to do that. There's a bunch of stuff that I wish I had footage for that we can do throwbacks for. We just have to get the footage.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mid-South stuff's amazing. The world-class stuff's amazing. AWA, there's so many good territories.
Yeah, we really need to get our hands on a lot of this footage. I know it's like few and far between, but I know it's out there. I know that there's people that have collections of, you know, all these promotions and storylines, like you know, preparing for the Black Achiever Awards. Tony C brought up Uncle Rob giving Brickhouse Brown a watermelon as a present, and I was like, what? And I looked it up and it was real. I was like, oh shit, like,
yeah,
some of the stuff that happened in like Memphis is just like gold.
Yeah, no,
because they just did whatever and it got over.
Yeah, guys, people who listen right now or on the download, if you have anything you guys want us to talk about in length that we haven't done, give us a shout. You know, send us a Facebook message or email us turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com. Go on the website turnbuckle throwbacks.com. Hit us up there too. I mean, this on Twitter. And definitely let us know, because I think it, not that we're not starving for material, but there's so many things that, you know, that during the everyday grind to prep for a show, you know, we miss a couple of things, you know? And
And I'm sure that there's stuff out there that, you know, I don't want to say is going to be better than what we think of, but, you know, everything strikes a chord with everybody. You know, there's so many different people from all over the U.S., all over UK and whatnot that you listen to our show. And we all have different things that, you know, got us into professional wrestling. You know, I'm sure, you know, there's people that they were watching World Class when it first started. Like I mentioned, like back in January, a friend of mine I was talking to on the phone. He's not a wrestling fan anymore, but he just happened to be watching Raw when they were showing the Royal Rumble matches, you know, for the preempted Raw. But like the dude, like when he was younger, he was a huge World Class fan. And there was even one time where he was like, oh, what was that one tag team? Like they were two guys that didn't know how to wrestle and they were literally like hurting people in the ring because they didn't know what they were doing.
The Simpsons, you mean?
No. But he went into detail. He's like, they were called like the Freedom Fighters, and one guy had blonde hair, the other guy had
brown hair.
I was like, that sounds like Sting and the Ultimate Warrior. And he's like, oh, I don't know who it was. And, you know, I did some more research on it. It actually was Ultimate Warrior and Sting. Like, that was their gimmick before they were the Blade Runners.
Right.
They were actually found a match when they were the Freedom Fighters. And literally their whole arsenal was like body slams and shoving people. And they were just fucking roided out of their minds. They were bigger back then than they were in, you know, NWA, WCW, and WWF. And, you know, I could totally see it. Like, it was just like dudes who were, you know, they even admitted it. You know, when they started out, well, obviously when you start out, you're not going to know shit, but you know, they're not getting the training that guys are getting now in the WWE developmental center or, you know, any wrestling promotion now. You know, now guys are more willing to teach everything that they know as opposed to hold everything back like they did back then, or kayfabe stuff because they didn't want, you know, secrets getting out that the business was a work, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, a lot of these guys, when they were coming up, you know, they didn't know, you know, where the shit or wind their watch, you know? So when they were thrown into the ring, it was just kind of like, you know, you go out and perform live and figure it out there. Plain and simple.
Pretty much. So again, Black History Month, one more week, and then it's already WrestleMania season. So we're moving right along. Once again, tomorrow night, Black Achiever Awards, live, 9 p.m. Coverage for WWE Fastlane is this Sunday at 7 p.m.
New Shining Black Carpet's pre-show.
New Shining, yep, Black Carpet pre-show. That's hosted by me. And New Shining Wizards came out yesterday. It had Beautiful Bobby on. And the new Neckbreaker came out, so check them out. All new shows on Shining Wizards Network this week coming out. Support those guys, as always. Support all those shows on a rant. We have T-shirts, obviously, Temporal Throwbacks, ProWrestlingTees.com. Dave, anything else before we get out of here? Or?
Oh, I want to put over, a friend of mine has a new podcast. It's a video game podcast called Thumbstick Ninjas. You can find them at ThumbstickNinjas.com.
Thumbstick Ninjas, huh?
Yeah, man. Cool. If you're into video games, current, from way back to the current, just like us, check them out. They just started. I think they're only on their fourth episode, but putting over my friend Rob, who you know, put this together recently. He was asking me for help, and I'm like, I'm the wrong guy to ask.
Yeah,
I just come on here and do my thing. So.
Well, tell them if they need help, let us know.
Contact Phil.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely help them out.
Yeah.
So thumbstickninjas.com, check them out. It's the Dave's Boys new show. We have a lot of guys on our Facebook page that are gamers, so definitely check that out. I think that's gonna be it. I have nothing else, man. I have absolutely nothing else. I'm just gonna have one more episode of Black History Month, and then again, WrestleMania season is upon us. I'm stoked.
Yeah, it's breathing down our neck.
I'm stoked. Big festivities are going down here next month.
We got some people going down there too, right?
Yeah, Mega Powers coming through, Tanks coming through.
No, I'm talking about people who are actually going to be at Mania.
Oh, yes, our homegirl, Kristen, whose birthday's tomorrow too. Happy birthday, sweetness. We'll wish happy birthday on Facebook. Yeah, our Queens girl, she lives out in San Francisco. Kristen's going to be checking in with us that day. It'll be like 11 a.m. their time when we go on live, 2 p.m. So she said she's going to be there already, so she's going to call in.
Nice.
And our boy Lex from the Lex Experience, he's also going to be there for WrestleMania.
He's going to have a WrestleMania experience.
And Lex is going to call into every show that day on a rant. Lex is the official correspondent, but Kristen's our correspondent for WrestleMania. So.
Oh, that reminds me of my favorite JR moment where he was just – I'm not sure for whether to say he was out of line or – you know, perfectly calling a match, but that Undertaker Shawn Michaels match where he's like, I'm having an out of body experience.
So, again,
I'm sure Lex is going to be having that.
Yeah. So, thank you, Lex. Thank you, Kristen. Happy birthday. And happy birthday to Chunky Larry, like I said again. And again, man, if you're a baseball fan, pitches and catches report this week. So, if you're living in the Northeast like we are, or in the Midwest where it's cold as shit, warmer days are ahead, and we'll march along. 2015 is looking really good for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks and the Rant and the Shining Wizards Network.
Onward and upward.
All right, so let's play some music and let's get out of here, man. Let's get out of here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, turnbucklethrowbacks.com is updated. Go up there and get all your episodes. Go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, rantemradio.com, Geeks of the Industry, The Bloke Show. All the shows that we support are now on turnbuckletrowbacks.com. Links to all the shows are on, links to all our episodes, links to all the shows we support, links to our networks. Go check them out. Dave, anything before we get out of here?
Peace and chicken grease.
Happy Black History Month. Moving right along here. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Till next week, kids. Same bad time, same bad channel. Avoid the clap. Be kind to animals. Don't get arrested. And,
treat your mom right.
Yeah, hug your moms, man. Good night, kids.
You.